This is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, did you know that the Muffin Man was maybe a serial killer that would dangle treats on a string so he could lure kids and rival pastry chefs back to his home and hit them with a wooden spoon? And that he lived on Drury Lane? Yeah, me neither, but we're not talking about that today. What I want to know is, are muffins unfrosted cupcakes? This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Hendy-Zadeh.
And Nicole, I'm PO'd right now.
Oh, dude. What else is new?
Oh my God, I'm PO'd right now.
Because, why is that?
Because we've been having the wool pulled over our eyes for years.
Why?
That people think there is a separation between muffin and cupcake. People have
My God, of course there is.
No, there is no separation. Muffins are merely unfrosted cupcakes. You serve me an unfrosted cupcake that is now inexplicably a breakfast food called a muffin.
Stop it. No, it's not.
It is a cake in the shape of a cup. I believe that is the bare minimum of cupcakehood.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disagree with
why?
You here.
Why come, Nicole? Why come
to
disagree?
I will tell you right now. Have you heard of the creaming method versus the muffin method?
Oh, yeah, but there's so... please explain the creaming method.
Okay, let me just pull up my document of assistance here. In the creaming method, we cream the fat with the sugar until light and then add the other ingredients. In the muffin method, we mix the liquids and the dry ingredients separately and then stir them together until just combined.
You're telling me, Nicole.
What?
You're telling me that if I cream the fat with the sugar to create it light and fluffily... And then put blueberries in that and a nice little streusel topping, maybe a little bit of warm autumnal spice on there, maybe some cinnamon.
Yeah.
And then I serve it at a little donut shop or a little coffee shop for $2.75 and a nice little fancy wrapper. You're telling me that's no longer
$2.75 blueberry. $2.75 for a fancy wrapper.
What? Well,
$3.80.
How much are you paying for? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it depends how big. I'm thinking about Simply Coffee in Burbank.
Never been.
Petit. Oh, really great. Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, goes there.
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah, I talk a lot about Cesar Millan.
Yeah, why do you like Cesar? Do you even have a dog?
No. I don't even enjoy dogs. But I enjoy Cesar Millan. And also, I ran into him at an Ashley Home Furniture in Burbank.
Wow, you guys are like two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl.
Yeah. he was really...
Good one, Nicole. That was a good one.
Cesar Millan, if you're listening out there, if you're whispering to dog, I think Cesar Millan probably listens to this podcast. You were very nice to the staff of Ashley Home Furniture. Anyways, I'm talking about Simply Coffee, a fantastic coffee shop in Burbank. They make great nitro cold brew. And their muffin's like $2.75, the petite. But what I'm saying is it doesn't matter the method, right? If you're putting blueberries in there, you're putting streusel on top of it, no one knows if the fat was creamed or not.
I have never had a streusel-topped cupcake.
I haven't either. But but I'm saying if the base, right? I'm saying an unfrosted cupcake is merely a muffin.
No, it's
muffins
not.
May have streusel toppings on them. I think there's a world in which a cupcake could reasonably have a streusel topping on it, and I believe those are indistinguishable from each other.
No, I disagree completely. The two textures of a cupcake versus a muffin are two totally different textures.
I feel it, because often, like, sour cream is added to muffins often, right? There's some sort
denser,
of additional, kind of denser. But,
harder
I mean,
bake.
Is that not just a denser cupcake? Because it can. You don't have to say it's a good cupcake. That's the thing. You don't have to say a muffin is a good cupcake. You can just say that it's a dense, bad cupcake.
You know, you're
also,
just,
I prefer muffins.
You're
cupcakes.
Getting me to waver, and I'm sorry, I'm standing my ground, Mr. Man. No, they're two different things. A cupcake is light, it's airy, it's, you know, has frosting on it. Even an unfrosted cupcake is a farce. It's BS. I don't like it. You can, like, put some, like powdered sugar on top or some cocoa powder on top. It needs something on top of it.
What about a Tres Leches cupcake?
What's that?
I don't know, but I really want one. I want a wet cupcake inside a wrapper.
You've been reading too many mommy blogs. You've just been reading too many
mommy
blogs.
That is such a mommy blog recipe.
That's
what. Oh my God, it's a mommy blog recipe that I would make and rate 5 stars because it sounds what an utter treat.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it being in a tiny little petite edible cup that, I don't know, just doesn't make sense to me. They're just two different recipes. It's two different cooking methods. It's two different baking methods. It's two different treats.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So. You think that there is a density coefficient?
Absolutely, there's a density coefficient. But I don't know what the coefficient is because I don't know what a coefficient is.
Yeah,
but that's neither here nor there.
I think coefficient in mathematical terms means thing. So I think we can call it a thing.
So why did you just say thing?
Thing. Uh-huh. No, but I'm saying there is a point at which a cupcake becomes so dense that it transitions from cupcakehood into muffinhood. Which I think this is a common enough occurrence, right? It's like if a creme caramel turns eggy enough, it turns into a flan. Maybe.
A creme caramel is a flan.
Or that's a bad example.
Caramel and flan are the same exact thing.
Okay, so it's like if a soup, which again, I do not believe soup exists, but let's play with the fact that I do today.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if a soup reaches a certain thickness and salinity, it becomes a sauce. Right? Tomato soup, you boil it down enough.
Okay.
It becomes a sauce.
Sure, so, I see that.
So there has to be a transitional point there. It's like the activation energy required to turn water into ice,
mm-hmm.
right? There is a very specific point when it reaches 32 degrees.
Yes.
And then it ticks over with this like big rush of activation energy that finally causes the molecules to solidify, right? There's that transitional point. We're saying that a soup has a transitional point of thickness, and I would argue probably flavor, and salinity, that it turns into a sauce, that you can no longer eat a whole bowl.
See, I can't agree with you because a cupcake does not turn into a muffin, and a muffin does not turn into a cupcake.
You think they start completely different?
Oh, yeah, by the way that you make them, yes.
And that is solely has to do with the creaming.
I mean, that's just, no, it's not the sole reason, it's the main reason. It is the start of the creation of the cupcake / muffin that you're making. There is intent. There is purpose. Stop laughing at me.
No, the messed up thing is that I'm laughing because, like, I think you might be right.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But think about, like, the variety of cakes.
I don't want
to. There's chiffon cakes, you know, there's Victorian sponges.
Yeah, sure.
All this stuff. So many cakes have different methods to them with, you know, when you cream the fat with the sugar, when you add the leavening, how... the speed at which you're supposed to beat it to create different levels of air that are trapped in the batters, different, you know, all that. Isn't it reasonable to believe, Nicole, is it not reasonable to believe that a muffin might, if you took a muffin batter and you baked that in a cake tin, right? Like like a cake pan.
Yeah.
Is that just a muffin loaf or like, or you know, say, and say
it's
you-
a scone. It's a scone.
One, I don't know what a scone is.
Scone. It depends where you're from.
My grandma's from South Africa, but she has a heavily British accent. She says scone, though, not scone. Oh, Josh, would you like some scones?
Who says scones?
I don't know. Mm. But I think they might be different because anytime my grandma says scone, she's, I believe, referring to an English muffin.
Oh, so she, Grandma Lily's just wrong.
Well, hold on. But if she's English-ish, South African.
So maybe, that's a crumpet.
Like, but she's like Eastern European Jew in South Africa.
An English muffin is just a crumpet.
Yeah, but what does she call, why does she call it a scone?
I don't know. She must, maybe they call it that in South Africa. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways, point is, what are we talking about?
Stop running around in circles. You know the right answer.
No, but I'm saying you take a blueberry muffin batter.
Take
out the blueberries. Blueberries no longer exist. Just a muffin batter. Right? And you bake that on like a sheet pan.
Why would I do that?
Well, it doesn't matter. That's hypothetical.
But why would I make, but why would I
concussed.
Do that?
You were concussed. You didn't know where you were. You thought you were making a cake batter. Stupid you. You made a muffin batter. Oh my God. They're so different, aren't they, Nicole? But play with me here.
They're not so different. That's like saying, no, they're not so different. That's like saying a puff pastry and a pie crust are two. They have similar, you know, methods, similar ingredients.
But they're both pastry, right?
They're both pastry.
Yeah, just in the same way that, you know, a muffin batter and a cupcake batter are both cakes.
No.
Yeah, no, you're agreeing with me.
No, they're both batters. No. That's like saying a pancake batter and a cake batter are the same thing.
Oh, that. Okay, now you're talking my language.
Yeah. See,
now
you're talking my language. Those are both batters, but they're not the same thing. Yeah, I could pour pancake batter into a cake tin, and I could get some rice and some leavening in it, but it's just a pancake in another vessel.
Oh, crap. Yeah, yeah. This is where I get got.
Yeah, you got.
Because I believe
that.
Yeah. Because someone, it was actually an opinion casserole a while ago where someone mentioned that they just like, which I respect this for convenience, they just pour a bunch of pancake batter in like a loaf pan, not a loaf pan, a, you know, like a 9x13, like full sheet.
I remember this one. I really remember it.
And they bake it into bars and then cut it and they like, you know, eat it as like a cake.
Sure.
Which one, like pretty ingenious way if you're like, I'll do that with just eggs, bacon, and vegetables.
Yeah, you stink up the fridge when you
do that. Stink up the fridge. Well, I call them protein bars. So I'll take like bacon, cheese, like spinach, mushrooms, and I'll mix that with raw egg and then I'll bake it off in a giant sheet. I'll do about 25
it's
to 26 eggs worth.
Crustless quiche.
Yeah, but quiche has like, you know, cream into it. There's like a lightness to quiche. There's also like an
keto quiche.
There's also, there's like an enjoyability to quiche that I'm lacking in my protein bars.
Sounds like a personal problem.
You know, like quiche is meant to be like a nice thing. Yeah,
dainty.
A little. Mm-hmm. Mine is just meant to get like salty protein into
it's
my body.
It's just a straight bar of egg.
It's just an egg bar. It turns a little bit gray, especially when the mushrooms get in there. But it's very convenient and it's like reasonably tasty.
It turns gray.
But anyways, point is, yeah, you're right. Pancake batter is very similar to cake. I suppose the place where I would disagree is that the sugar content is very different. So that's why I don't believe a pancake batter is similar to a cake batter. Just because the sugar content is so low of traditional pancake batter,
yeah,
which is what allows it to cook on direct heat, right? If a pancake batter has too much sugar in it, have you ever taken like cake batter and tried to like cook it
of
on a pan?
Of course, yeah, it burns.
It burns, yeah. Right? It burns immediately.
Yeah, it does.
Whereas a muffin batter would react very similarly to a cake batter.
It would be similar, but it's not the same. Also, whenever you cook a muffin, you cook it at two different. Well,
oh, you're right.
Typically, with muffins, you cook them at two different temperatures. Just with my history of making muffins, you start at a really high heat to get a really nice crust, and then you bring it down so it can get a really nicely cooked center.
Yeah, well, right? the high heat causes the muffin topping effect, right?
Yeah, well, sometimes it does create that like really beautiful like Rocky Mountain like surface on it, but it like creates a crust almost, and then the center can like cook really nicely and evenly.
Mm-mm, that makes sense, like a cannelet.
Similar, love cannelets.
Love
Explain cannelet. What a cannelet is to our listeners.
Oh, pass. I don't exactly know what it is. So I've never made one.
I just
really enjoy them.
So it's a high sugar, very sweet batter that you put in a mold that has these really beautiful ridges on it, and you cook it at a super, super, super high temperature, like at 500 degrees, and it caramelizes on the outside because it has such high sugar content, and then the center stays like a little bit air pockety, but still kind of gooey and beautiful, and then you pop it out, and it's like caramelized on the outside, and the center is like this beautiful custardy batter, but it's totally set and has these little air bubbles in it. We used to put a chocolate caramel truffles in the center of them when they were so warm.
Oh, talk about the goo.
Yeah, it was really good.
I don't, what gives cannelé, because it has this almost like spiderwebby texture.
It's the temperature. I think it's a combination of the temperature, the sugar content, and the vessel that it's cooked in.
Because it's supposed to be copper, right?
Yeah.
Copper is a traditional?
Traditionally, it creates this like microcosm of everything to go right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it creates this beautiful texture that you can't get with anything. Same thing with crumpets. Crumpets have those beautiful little holes in there too. And I think that's from the sodium bicarbonate or whatever they put in there. That creates these beautiful like pockets of air and these little nooks and crannies that we love in English muffins.
Interesting.
Too.
I do love me some crumpets.
Yeah, I've never had a crumpet.
Oh, you know, I used to eat them with my grandma, but she called them something else. She called them like bees boxes. You know, it's a bees boxes.
Bees box?
I don't know. I grew up with a weird sense of what foods are called.
That's interesting. A bees box, probably because it had little holes for the bees to go in.
Like something like that, dude. I don't know.
That's cute.
I would come home from school. I lived with my grandma at the time, and she would be like, "Oh, Josh, do you want some sausages?" And I was like, "Heck yeah, I want some sausages." I was a beefy teen. And she would just microwave up some Hebrew National hot dogs and throw it on top of some mashed potatoes.
A hot dog is a sausage.
I know a hot dog is a sausage, but I'm saying there are, you know, like, we would differentiate very clearly between a hot dog and a sausage. At least, you know, from an American perspective.
But she's from South Africa.
Yeah, it's just different. Things are different over there.
Give Grandma Lily the benefit of the doubt.
I am giving Grandma Lily. Her chicken cacciatore is watery. No, I love my grandma. And her tuna dip is fantastic. The secret ingredient is gelatin.
Stop.
Cream of mushroom soup and gelatin, and it's flames, Nicole. It's hot fire flames.
Oh my God.
Because you need something to eat at granny's parties while the smoked salmon is finishing de-icing on the table.
Oh my God.
Because it's coming out the freezer because it was bought at the Costco 6 years ago.
Did you say gelatin?
Yeah.
I'm hot. Gives it a
really,
the neck.
Really lovely mouthfeel.
I'm sure it does, but I just can't get over the idea of tuna and gelatin.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
We should get into why I'm so mad. Nicole, why I'm so mad is
Are you a cupcake guy?
No, I'm a muffin man. I am the muffin man. I'm not a serial killer, as I established at the top of the show. But no, I am a huge muffin fan. I think the texture is superior.
Okay.
But I hate the fact that we've been bamboozled. We've been absolutely bamboozled into believing that muffins should be a breakfast food. Because muffins are a dessert, and they're a fantastic dessert.
They're both.
They're both, but I think there is this subset of items.
I'm so mad at you right now.
What?
You mean to tell me you eat bran muffins for dessert?
Bro, I love bran muffins.
You hate yourself.
I love bran muffins, and it's not for the health. Do they make you poop good? Yeah. You know, there's, you know, but I love just the kind of like wholesome, weedy flavor of bran.
Yeah.
And I love that in a muffin, and especially when it's soaked through in sugar. What?
At nighttime, though, like after a meal.
It's a digestif. It just flushes you. It flushes you. That's what I want. No, but I think muffins are like the superior version of cupcakes, which is why I'm advocating so strongly for this.
No.
Anytime we have an office party and they bring in Sprinkles cupcakes, I wish they'd just bring in Winchell's muffins. Ugh,
Sprinkles cupcakes. I used to love them. I used to stand at the ATM.
I've been to the Sprinkles ATM. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big cupcake fan either. I don't like cupcakes or muffins. I like a slice of a layer cake.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
A layer, like, with relatively thin cake layers as well.
Yeah.
And not thick frosting either.
No, I don't like thick frosting. No.
Buttercream, American buttercream, which also I believe is called crusting buttercream.
Like the boiled cream?
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's good. I think it's your standard buttercream. I don't know. I saw someone call it American buttercream.
Well,
recently.
I think buttercream is something different than you probably. It's not just butter and sugar. When I think of buttercream,
I think butter, sugar, and a little bit of milk.
Yeah, you know, the best way to make buttercream is like actually taking like hot syrup and mixing it into egg whites and then dropping in butter. That makes
is that a buttercream or is that a royal?
I was raised in the cooking world to call that a buttercream, but other people might not, probably because learned from people that called it buttercream.
Well, like I'm not being a baker is so tough for me, but there's like what, like Viennese?
Yeah, there's like Italian meringue and like Swiss and like there's like egg yolk buttercream. I forgot what it's called, but.
But like no one is using, that's another thing is I love layer cake so much and I love cake baking. I mean, not doing it myself, but I appreciate it so much. But like that skill to me doesn't often get applied to cupcakes.
It did for a while, especially
they
in
tried.
Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, we had Georgetown, we had Sprinkles, we had so many cupcake crumbs. You ever had crumbs?
Never
cupcakes?
Been to crumbs.
Oh my god, I was the biggest crumb stan ever. I loved it. I'd be like, "Hey, you got a Sprinkles? I got a crumbs. It's much better." I was such a brat.
And then you have someone be like, "I go to Susie Cakes," and you're like, "Shut up! Get out of here!"
Nobody invited you, Susie. But yeah, no, there was a period of time in LA specifically where there was a huge cupcake boom, and I have a feeling the Food Network really, really helped with that with the cupcake wars.
Oh my god,
and
yeah,
and the cupcake games and all those silly little Food Network.
It was
shows.
Bolstered by the Red Velvet Revolution too.
Oh my god, I hate Red Velvet. They bastardized Red Velvet.
Yes.
Red Velvet is a beautiful light cocoa cake that has a little bit of food coloring.
Preach.
That's what it is.
It didn't used to have food coloring.
Yeah, I know, because the cocoa powder would alkalize with the vinegar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know all about that. But no, I think nowadays Red Velvet has turned into an ugly thing.
You know how I knew Red Velvet was done? Because I walked into a grocery store and I saw something that just said Blue Velvet Cupcakes.
Oh my gosh.
And it was, I once complained to a major grocery store chain on Twitter. I didn't even complain. I just sent them like a tweet of a picture of my mouth after eating one of their cupcakes.
You did?
Because it
wish
was
I could see
there.
That.
Was I mean the ratio must have been half cake batter, half food dye.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. But here's my thing: we went through the cupcake revolution, right? Where everyone cupcakes were fetishized. We fetishized cupcakes for a long time. I wish we did the same with muffins. I think muffins, because they've been put into the breakfast category, that they're not getting as much respect as they deserve. I think they need to climb out of like the morning dregs and rise to dessert stardom, because I think they're a beautiful, like, you know, a kind of denser, chewier, crustier, more complex version of a cupcake and less cutesy, right? Just more sort of intense flavor. I mean, I want to, I want to get out there with like caramelized rhubarb and barberry muffins, you know, give me, throw some obscure berries in there.
Why don't you make those for me one time?
I don't know how to cook.
Yeah, you
How
do.
Many times do I have to tell you?
You have a wonderful cooking show on the internet. What are you talking about? You know how to cook.
Maybe I should get into artisanal muffin baking.
I think that would be great. I think that would revive the American spirit on muffins.
I think it would.
Yeah, start a muffin blog.
I don't. Oh God, blogs. What is this? 2012, Nicole.
Okay,
cheese and rice. Get out of here.
A muffin TikTok channel. Is that better? Is that more in vogue for you, Josh?
I got an email the other day from the Wix.com support team that was like, hey, by the way, culinarybrodown.net is officially expired. And I was like, oh, God, I still had a website?
Yeah, I got that from GoDaddy a while ago. And I'm like, I'm not renewing it.
What was your website?
It doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, tell us your website. No. Oh, it was probably weird, wasn't it?
I don't want to tell you. I'm scared.
Whose fanfic was it for?
I'm not saying anything about anything anymore. Let's go back to talking about muffin.
You know what else makes me mad?
What?
The term quick bread.
Why?
Why
are you on one today? Why?
This was the most exasperated I've ever seen Nicole. She like it was like a damsel fainting in a silent movie with the hand on the head. No,
why?
Okay, because
bread?
The split between muffin and cupcake, what it really comes down to is the split between cake and quick bread, right? So quick bread is any bread that is leavened using, you're talking about sodium bicarbonate or baking soda, any quick leavener as opposed to like a yeast fermented bread.
Uh-huh.
Everything from Wonder Bread to like a sourdough loaf to a baguette, even down to donuts or yeast donuts, they're all made with yeast, and that gives a signature sort of chewy texture.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these more sort of like crumbly, moist breads, thinking Irish soda bread, beer bread, zucchini bread, pumpkin bread, all that stuff, they're all put in the category of quick bread, right? So that's, you know, with the baking powder, baking soda. But to me, there's such a huge difference between like an Irish soda bread and like, say, banana nut bread. Like banana nut bread, that's muffin batter, which I still...
Banana bread is cake.
Okay, so you, hold on. You agree that banana bread is cake.
Of course. It's not a muffin batter. It's cake.
It's very close.
It's cake.
If you don't think you took a banana bread batter and put that into a cupcake tin, aka a muffin tin, because they are one and the same, put a little wrapper on it, put some chopped walnuts
in
there.
Why do I need to put the walnuts in there?
You don't need to put walnuts. I enjoy walnuts. I would like walnuts.
I don't want to put the walnuts in there.
You don't like walnuts in banana bread?
No. Obstacle
Tell
to
me
the
why.
Banana bread.
Tell me what.
It's an obstacle.
Just in the way of the banana
flavor?
Yeah, I find them complimentary. I might even put some walnut oil in there.
Ew, what?
Infuse the flavor throughout.
No. You're extra.
Extra ripe bananas. I feel like those sort of phenolic tones would kind of overlap and be nice.
Maybe a little bit of chocolate chips if I'm feeling antsy.
You don't think that you put that into a muffin tin that bakes into a perfect muffin?
It depends on my bake.
It does, right? It depends on, I mean, so many people, there's so many different recipes for banana bread and all that, ditto for zucchini bread, but they have such a high sugar content, right?
Mm-hmm, they
do. Separate, they're not like a quick bread in the sense of a soda bread, whatever. So they're a cake, but then you put that into a cup mold. That's a cupcake. But you think like in a blind taste test, someone makes you a banana nut muffin versus walnuts that were put into a banana bread recipe into a cupcake mold and baked. You think you could have 10 different people make this banana bread cooked in a cupcake tin, and then 10 different people cook a banana muffin in a muffin tin, and you shuffle them around. How many of them could you guess are the muffins versus the cake?
Are they blindfolded?
Yes. You're not blindfolded. You can see them. You can see them. Screw it. You can see them.
Okay,
but imagine
no.
These are 10 people.
Okay, what are the demographics
randos.
Of the 10 people? Okay, well,
randos. So, like the way you select a jury. You're out there, you're being like, this is a 34-year-old school teacher from Bend, Oregon. You know, she drives a Subaru. She really enjoys baking on the weekends.
Yeah,
you know,
muffin.
This is 68-year-old grandmother, you know, from Portsmouth. I don't even know what state that's in.
What are you talking about?
Is that in Rhode Island?
I don't know. Maybe Portsmouth?
She's from Bangor, Maine.
Okay.
68-year-old grandma from Bangor, Maine. She has a garden in the backyard.
Yeah.
She's been baking cupcakes for 61 years since she was 7 years old, based on the...
Why cupcakes?
Well, but she recently got into baking muffins, and you have to guess which one this is that she baked.
Okay, honestly, no. They look different. And if I put a muffin and a cupcake side by side, you would know which one's the muffin.
No.
Yes, you would.
Well, it depends.
Have you seen the top of a muffin compared to the top of a cupcake?
But you're talking about like a perfect muffin. You're talking about a coffee shop muffin that has a perfect muffin top. Not all muffins have a perfect muffin top. You know, I wish they did. I sure wish they did. What, you laugh at perfect muffin top?
Yes.
I got a hard muffin top going right now because we're just coming out of lunch.
I always have a muffin
top. I drink a solid pint of Dahl. And I got just hot lentil liquid bubbling in my tummy, and I'm feeling great. It was delicious.
I made Josh order Dahl of the day, and I think he resents me for it.
I don't resent. I absolutely love Dahl. Was it a great choice right before a podcast to drink a pint of lentils? No. I could have eaten a normal portion like a normal person.
Yeah, me too.
But I did not, and so that's why I got my red up, and that's why I'm all mad
about quick breads. Listen, Josh, I know where you're coming from, and I'm really trying to empathize with what you're trying to say, but unfortunately, you're just wrong. I don't know how else to tell you.
I think there's something to method and intent being very important to the statehood of a dish.
Sure.
Right? It's like, it's the reason, you know, say a souffle and an omelet have the same ingredients, but they're very different dishes based on intent and methodology.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you 1,000,000%.
It's all about eggs.
All about
one very different, and they both have different purposes. I think the purposes for a muffin and a cupcake are very muddled, and that's where I'm getting... To me, there's no reason that a slightly denser, crustier cupcake should be eaten in the morning and then one should be eaten at night. I think that's very silly. And I don't agree, and that's what I'm mad about. I want freedom. I want freedom for all people to be able to eat the foods that they want to eat at any point in day. I think they should be able to buy fresh muffins at 8 p.m. at night. I think they should bake muffins all throughout the day. I'm sick of getting to the coffee shop, you know, at 7 p.m. as it's closing, and like, we're all out of muffins. But meanwhile, the cupcake shop down the street, Nicole, they're booming.
I'm sorry, Josh.
They're booming.
I'm so sorry, Josh.
We feed Pop-Tarts to children.
Josh, I'm so sorry.
For breakfast.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I feel like this is really...
A Pop-Tart is not a... It's a dessert. Tart is a French word for
you're
pie.
You're right. Nicole, it's a... I know.
Oh, but it's a toaster.
It's hard, but you have to realize...
Toaster strudel.
No, I know, you keep just saying words.
No, toaster strudel's a dessert.
Yeah, and I can say ho-hos or something. Yeah, I don't know.
What about Swiss rolls? Little Hostess cakes, you know? Like, come on. You know, what am I talking about? Come on, Nicole.
Josh. Stop. You need to grow up and you need to realize that a cupcake and muffin are two very different things. Although they're cousins, they are from different families and they're adopted and they love each other. Okay?
That's a heck of a way to win an argument. Just go, muffins aren't cupcakes. Grow up. Grow up, Josh. Muffins aren't cupcakes.
They're not. They're so different. They're two literal different things.
What if I put frosting on a muffin?
No, you've gone too far. No, you've just frosted a muffin.
I think I've learned something today, Nicole.
You've never had a muffin with icing on the top?
I don't think so. Have you had a muffin with icing on top?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a... it was that cupcake. Got her! Boom! No. No, I... The thing where you kind of got me was like, you know, the pie crust versus puff pastry. And so many pastries are so similar, but they got different names, right? A Queen Amand, a croissant. Yeah. They're the same thing. They got different names or slightly different shapes.
Uh-huh.
Even though a crappy croissant might be gnarled and look a bit like a Queen Amand. You know, an ornate Queen Amand might be folded in such a way that it could be confused for a croissant, but they're different, and I have to honor the artisan who made that.
Yep.
You can't put strudel in a toaster.
What?
How do you put strudel in a toaster? What? Still mad about that. Cereal is a dessert. I want to take Cocoa Krispies. No, Mickey, I'm not wrapping up. There's a sign in the window that says wrap. What happens if you take Cocoa Krispies, cereal, and you make a risotto with them?
You're a disturbed human being.
Well,
go to the doctor. I don't know what else to tell you.
I think you win. We don't have to end this podcast.
There's no winning or losing. It's just realizing when you're wrong. And that's what I want you to do, Josh. When we don't agree, we both lose. Remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are one unified force. One team, one
dream. Yeah, you're just wrong right now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the internet. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions I Like Casseroles.
Nicole was either miming or playing on-ball defense with her hands while she did that. I couldn't tell if you were trying to get out of a box or if you were guarding the passing lanes on the perimeter. I don't even think you know what the second thing means.
What was it? Guarding the perimeter?
Guarding the passing lanes on the perimeter. Someone's trying to swing. Someone's trying to swing to a flashing three, Nicole.
Is that a driving reference?
Basketball. It's basketball.
I don't know, man.
All right, first up, we got at Jeff McCourtney, actual best frozen pizza. We must have proclaimed that there was a best frozen pizza. I still believe it is Red Baron or Wild Mike's.
Costco.
Oh, yeah, Costco. Actual best frozen pizza, freschetta gluten-free four cheese super crisp crust. I don't believe either of us have ever had freschetta gluten-free.
Never.
But the reason we wanted to do this and not gloss over it is because I had been pronouncing that freschetta. Like Giada Di Laurentiis. I had been saying freschetta.
So it's freschetta?
But it's pronounced freschetta.
How do you know that?
In commercials, they say freschetta.
Okay.
But I will say one time I went to the Buca di Beppo, the most authentic Italian restaurant in all of America.
Okay.
Honestly, one of those chain Italian restaurants I really love. And like, I didn't go Giada on it. I didn't go bruschetta. I was just like, hey, can I get the bruschetta? And the server goes, did you mean bruschetta? And I was like, I'm at a crossroads right now where I don't want to make it a thing. They have a really lovely bruschetta there and I just wanted it. But I was like, if I say, yes, I meant bruschetta, I would have felt, you know, like a phony.
Okay.
You know, just being like, I want your approval. Like, oh my God, yeah, I'm such
people,
an idiot.
People please.
But I certainly didn't want her to go away from that thinking like, oh, this a-hole, you know, is trying to jada me and go bruschetta.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I just said like, yeah, I meant bruschetta. And then stared at her. And then we got it. Anyways, this is an awkward standoff. And that's the reason I want to talk about this opinion.
Oh, okay. Well, this opinion is good. Okay. I have nothing else to say. B.B. Eilish, 24, says
B.B. Eilish.
B.B. Eilish?
This is Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish! Come on the podcast. People need to stop putting raisins in everything. I love raisins, but pies, salad, etc. don't need raisins. I love raisins and things, but not like some things, not all things. Like in my cereal, great.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. In a chicken curry salad, really, really good. Just a handful.
Just raisins plus my mouth equals pretty good. I've been buying raisins is weird, right? We can agree on that.
Yeah. Why don't like you don't buy raisins? They're just in your pantry, right?
Yeah, they're just there. No one's ever bought raisins, but there's always too much of them. That's so true.
Oh my god.
My cooking has existed with raisins, and so I have at home this just like you know. Probably a pound box of golden raisins, which each large handful is probably like less than an ounce.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's just so much of it. And so I've actually been tossing raisins. I mean, raisins are pretty commonly used. I mean, well, fruit and, you know, savory dishes is like pretty common in a lot of parts of the world. Yeah. I'm thinking Morocco. I'm thinking like Persian.
Yeah.
And so I've just been tossing raisins into random stews that are pretty heavily spiced. Generally got some sort of, you know, tomato component into it.
Yeah.
Freaking lovely.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You get like a really like warm spice plus some heat in there with some raisins. I'm a huge fan. I like raisins in coleslaw.
Okay.
Which is an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liking like coleslaw is an unpopular opinion.
Oh, I love coleslaw.
But putting raisins in it is like doubly bad.
Here's, you want a weird opinion? Is coleslaw a salad?
Coleslaw is a soup.
KFC coleslaw is technically a gazpacho.
Yes.
It's a cold cabbage
Speaking
soup.
Speaking of which, you should read the next question.
Oh. At Hughes Clan Cosplay, pickle relish is just a gazpacho.
Yeah.
It's condensed gazpacho.
Condensed, yes.
It's condensed. You take pickle relish, you combine it with equal parts water, and you do get a very strangely flavored
pickle
gazpacho.
Yeah, correct.
I do not enjoy pickle relish, like prepared pickle relish.
I do.
I think I generally, when I want pickles, I don't go sweet. I dig on some bread and butter pickles once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But often, like, say you're making a Thousand Island, fresh chopped pickles versus just prepared pickle relish world of difference.
I really, really love the flavor of relish sometimes. Like in a tuna salad, it's really, really good.
That's very nostalgic for me.
On a hot dog, it's pretty good. I don't like it on my burgers, though.
No.
But a little bit of relish, you know, every now and then makes it feel good.
That's the thing. I do not enjoy a fat burger very much. They are not my preference burger.
Yeah.
Because they put relish and mustard on their hamburgers by default. You can ask for it to not be there.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that they do it by default that gets me to not trust them.
Yeah. Lobo 13th says mayo on a sausage and pepper grinder with heavy maws is bomb. Yeah, it sounds pretty bomb. I kind of want to eat that.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
I also really enjoy mayo on a cheesesteak.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're using provolone on there.
Okay.
So something like having a Mott's on a sandwich like that, it's not a self-saucing cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Some cheeses that have a high enough like fat content, right? They're self-saucing in a way.
That's such an interesting take to call cheese self-saucing.
Right? Some of it is. I mean, even like a medium cheddar, it almost acts as a sauce with the amount of moisture that's coming from it. But something like a Mott's, or if you're using a provolone on a cheesesteak, like use white American in a cheesesteak, that emulsifies with the beef fat to create its own delicious sauce.
Yeah.
But if you're using provolone, right? Too low moisture, too much protein, you don't get that. So I like to take a little smear of mayonnaise,
mm-hmm.
and it almost like gives the illusion of like a cheese whiz kind of.
Interesting.
But you get all that flavor from the provolone. So this is kind of in that same vein, and I really love that. People need to be more comfortable with hot mayonnaise.
I hate that you said that so much. But yeah, hot mayo is not that bad. People just have aversions to weird things.
Yeah, blowtorched mayo.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit
excessive. I mean, the way they do it on like a dynamite roll.
When you say it like, okay, dynamite rolls? Okay, I love dynamite rolls. Dynamite rolls are my favorite thing at a sushi.
Explain what a dynamite is, because people might not know.
So a dynamite roll is just, I think it's a California roll, maybe with avocado, sometimes not. And then it's just little dollops of spicy mayo on it. Sometimes you can put scallops on it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I just like the spicy mayo, and then they broil it.
Yeah.
They broil it, and
the mayonnaise
so
cooks and gets all fudgy.
Yeah, but they put spicy mayo on it. I love spicy mayo. If you listen to this podcast, you know how much I love spicy mayo. So spicy mayo that has been blowtorched and put on sushi that's hot, and it's just real, real good.
Yeah, you get the hot mayonnaise and the cold California
roll. Oh my god,
that's so good.
Oh my god, it's so good.
We're such Epicureans. All right, at curly_caps, Fuego Takis dipped in vanilla ice cream is the best snack ever.
I've heard of people doing this with hot Cheetos.
I think Takis would work better than hot Cheetos, though.
Yeah, it does, because it has a higher acid, mm-hmm. and a lower garlic.
Cheese component.
Yeah, lower cheese, garlic, onion component.
Yeah, the main difference between Fuego Takis and Flamin' Hot Cheetos is that Flamin' Hot Cheetos have more like garlic, onion, cheese.
Yeah.
Takis
exactly.
are just pure acid, heat, spice, chili.
Good.
Good.
Corn.
That works with ice cream. The toasted corn works
Corny.
Really well with ice
yeah.
cream.
So good.
This sounds very good. I've never done it. I know what I'm doing.
Pesaru says mac and cheese is best eaten with avocado and Valentino sauce. You probably mean Valentina hot sauce.
Yeah.
I love Valentina. The first time I was introduced to Valentina when I was 20 years old and my ex-boyfriend made me breakfast tacos. So
Valentina is a good breakfast hot sauce.
It's a really good breakfast hot sauce.
It's kind of like Tapatio adjacent for me.
It is really good on breakfast mm-hmm. tacos and breakfast burritos. I love it. And, you know, if you're eating mac and cheese with avocado and Valentina, you're probably a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moral
I agree with that.
Compass, clean slate, good person. Love you. Come to my house.
It's like you see someone put like a poached egg into like instant ramen, and you're just like,
yeah
you're my know, people. You're
my people.
People.
Yeah. This is one of those things I'm like, yeah, you're my people.
Yeah. You're our people.
Yes.
You're our people.
Yes,
agree with that.
Call us.
Let's hang out. At Jmonahan0516, flavor blasted goldfish and sriracha hit different on top of any stovetop mac and cheese.
Okay.
I love topping stove, because I do enjoy, I like a good like hearty baked mac and cheese.
Sure.
The cheese gets super caramelized and you get that brick factor
yeah.
with the stretchy cheese. I also do love just like a creamy stovetop mac and cheese.
I'm a stovetop girl.
Yeah, exclusively?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know why. I mean,
they both have their place.
I can't personally recreate mac and cheese baked as well as I can, as other people can. Like,
yeah,
it's like I can make stovetop mac and cheese with the best of them.
I think I agree with that.
But I cannot make baked mac and cheese the way other people can, and I'm not as talented and I'm not as deft at that form of cooking.
It is. It's like alchemy. I followed people's recipes too, and
yeah.
I had their baked mac and cheese. And like mine doesn't come out the right way.
Oh, like the Kitchenistas?
Yeah.
Oh,
the Kitchenista mac and cheese recipe. Her baked mac and cheese recipe
Oh my God.
Probably like the best recipe on the internet.
I think it's the most amazing recipe, and she really puts a lot of tender, loving care in her cooking. So I tried to do that one time, and I it was delicious and it was good, but I just
it didn't
feel
look like her pictures.
It didn't, and she just needs to make it for me and send it to me so I can try it.
We should get Angela Davis, Kitchenista. She is like one of the best recipe writers on the internet, if not my personal favorite. I made her roasted mango pie. Holy crap!
Oh
I
my
mean,
gosh,
best pie
that
I've ever
sounds
made.
Next level.
Unbelievable. Everyone, yeah, go check out at the Kitchenista on Twitter.
Yes, please do.
Buy her ebooks. She rules.
She really does.
Oh yeah, goldfish are tight.
Oh, this, okay, so you know how I said the last person was like my people? This I don't really...
I actually think this is more my people than the avocado and Valentina,
well,
which is funny.
Maybe this is where we differ, Josh.
This is where we differ, because I understand this because I like the creaminess of stovetop, but I also want a little bit of crunch, and then I put hot sauce on 90% of foods that I'm eating. And sriracha, I think, is a nice mac and cheese hot sauce because you don't get the acid that may like obstruct. I still like acid on mac and cheese.
Sure.
But like, you know, sometimes you don't want that. I want something a little bit more ketchupy, a little bit more sugar, something kind of nostalgic for me. That's sriracha. This is my people. Jay Monahan, come hang out. I'll call you. Nicole's going to avoid you, and I'm sorry.
No, I'll pick up the phone. Jill Johnson 277 says, I eat dill pickle seasoning for popcorn straight. Lick my finger, dip in the powder, and eat it. Weird? You know, you shouldn't ask us if what you do is weird.
Yeah, we're not good barometers for
we're
that.
We're weird. No. We have our weird quirks and quips with food, so...
Well, I don't think we're weird. I think we're deceptively worldly and also, like, you know, accepting. Because when I hear I eat dill pickle seasoning straight, my mind immediately goes to Lucas powder.
Yeah.
Lucas powder, right?
The like tamarindos.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally just a delicious, acidic, you know, salty, sweet powder that you eat, and it's delicious. It's like a pixie stick with, you know, some more, like, panache to it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I don't think this is weird at all. I think that's really fun. Occasionally, if I want to feel something, I'll just take some tahini, and I'll just put some tahini in the palm of my hand and give it a little lick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think this is weird at all. I think if it works for you, it works for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have some dill pickle seasoning I just bought. It's literally in the kitchen, so I think I'm going to do a little finger dip pretty soon.
Do it. I want to try it. At Kat's at it again. Kat, what did you do? You're at it again. Taco Bell tacos are only good if you sub for chicken. I don't know what that quote-unquote beef is made of, but it is whack. That beef, it is actually made... What?
You've unleashed a can of worms, Kat. You are at it again.
Kat, if you simply do a Google search for Taco Bell beef, you'll be directed to a Taco Bell website that breaks down every single ingredient of what is in their beef because they were hit with a spurious lawsuit that claimed that their beef was only 34% beef by weight when in fact it was 88%, which launched several people into a tirade saying, you know, Taco Bell, what is the last 12%? They had to make a website disclosing what the last 12% is.
Wow.
And it's things that are crazy like spices and water and a little bit of starch like oatmeal to get the spices to bind with the beef and the water even better. So it is pure beef. It's like a braise. It's like a bolognese. It's like a ragu. It's like a picadillo. Taco Bell beef to me is like a very, very well-seasoned, delicious Mexican-American bolognese, and I am a huge fan. Their chicken, on the other hand, their shredded chicken, I thought was their best chicken iteration.
Mm-hmm.
Their grilled chicken, I actually used to work at a catering company at UCLA that we would like feed all the athletes, but restaurants that are on college campuses and in airports are like contracted out through third parties.
Yes.
So for some reason, we shared the commissary kitchen with Taco Bell,
We
would serve these large sacks of Taco Bell chicken.
Okay,
and it's coming, you know, pre-chopped with the fake grill marks on it. And to me, it just has this very kind of weird acidic saline solution soaked into it that I'm not the biggest fan of. But their shredded chicken was solid, but to me, by far the best meat option at Taco Bell is their beef.
I'm a beans girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, their beans are fire, too. Yeah. I like soupy beans. Taco Bell got great soupy beans.
Yeah, I sometimes get their beef, but most of the time I'm getting their beans.
But they're relatively similar, if you really...
Yeah. They are very similar textures and flavors. So.
It's a nice flavor paste.
Yeah.
And that's what I want.
Sometimes I just like my beans.
Yeah, no, totally fair.
Yeah.
No beef sub beans. Shout out to Kush Bouchard, friend of the show, and my best friend Deep. both bonded over the no beef sub beans. And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or in Hendizada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, you can hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
I'll see you here. I'll see you in another time.